No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we are here with Toronto's very own Killy.
What up, bitch?
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm good. Enjoying LA.
Yeah? You having a good time out here?
Yeah.
You only been here for what, like 3-4 days?
I've been here since yesterday.
Oh, I think, so. Quick little trip then.
Yeah. Nice. But I'm gonna stay longer, so.
Oh, nice.
It's nice.
What you been doing out here? Label meetings, that kind of stuff?
Label meetings. I hit a studio, made a song called No Bad Days in LA, because this shit is perfect. So.
That is how I feel too. I've been here for a long time.
Bro, I touched down and I was looking at like we got out the airport, we rolled a blunt in the airport and like smoked it in the Uber. That shit was live. So
you could smoke it in front of the cops at the airport and you'd probably be all right.
Yeah, it was good.
Blunt policies here are very lax. What's Toronto like with the weed? They still throw you in jail, like, or what?
Nah, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as New York, but like it's still kind of, you know.
You can't just walk down the street smoking a blunt.
Like you can. I think you can.
If you're smooth.
Yeah.
Like, in the right part of town.
If you just move right, you probably could.
But if you're in like a cool Jamaican area.
Yeah.
They might leave you alone, right?
Like, yeah, sure. I guess so.
Yeah, but wait. The other day I saw Lil Pump smoking a blunt and like a 2-year-old walked by.
That's fucked.
That was kind of weird, yeah. Okay. I was like, maybe we shouldn't smoke weed this crazy in public.
Yeah, I mean, like do you, I guess. I don't know. Like.
So what area, you're originally from Toronto?
Yeah, I was born in Toronto.
Okay, born and raised. And so what was your upbringing like?
So I was born in Toronto when my dad had me at my age now. So he moved to BC, British Columbia, the other side of Canada, early on. And then back in high school, I moved back to Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And then been there since.
What was that transition like, British Columbia versus Toronto?
So it's like moving from Scarborough, the east end of Toronto, dominantly minorities, to West Coast, suburbia, predominantly Caucasian culture influence. And it was just a good experience. Like I got to experience both sides of the, I don't know, scale, I guess, like complete opposites,
right?
So yeah,
well, you get to understand all the white kids that you're currently getting to watch your videos on
YouTube.
Yeah,
so like it my thing is that like it allows me to connect with like all types of people, like
right.
I was like I look Filipino, my whole family's dark skin. Going to a Francophone school, only kid that's not actually French,
right?
In a Francophone school.
Did you experience racism there, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I experienced racism through like a Bleacher View perspective because my whole family's dark skinned.
Uh-huh.
So living in on the island, Vancouver Island, in West Coast suburbia, my dad got into some politics with the police there and went through some police brutality and stuff.
Really?
But since I'm fair skinned, I got to see that shit through like a Bleacher View perspective.
But you don't feel like you experienced it yourself, like just because your skin wasn't as dark?
No, I mean, I do, like when you're a minority, I guess at the end of the day, you do feel racism, but like I got to really see like just the how grave the situation is, but like from like if I was watching it like it was a movie type shit, like
right,
like sitting right there and it's not affecting me, but like it's really real, affecting like someone like my father that close to me, you know. So
right. So yeah. Then you move back to Toronto, and is it just like, is that when did you start making music while you were out in Vancouver, or did you do?
No, I've been making music since I was young.
Oh, okay.
I started releasing music when I went to Toronto, because being in that environment, I couldn't really like be who I was aspiring to be, like be the person I was trying to become in that environment. I was very boxed in. So
right.
Like as soon as I got to Toronto, I started recording my music in 2016, started releasing it. Now we're here.
Was Kilimanjaro the first video you put out?
Kilimanjaro was my first video.
And so that's what's interesting about that stat wise. It came out in February.
Mm-hmm.
It hit 1 million views 20 days ago. It's right now at 3.5 million.
I didn't even fucking know that, but that's sick. 20 days ago, bro?
20 days ago.
Is that even true?
Yes, because it's like the 5th right now, and I was looking at your Instagram, and you were all hyped that it hit 1 million on the 15th of July.
Damn.
I think.
That's lit.
I'm pretty sure I'm right. That's insane. Because
that's life, fam.
It took from February until 20 days ago for it to 1 million, and then you got 2.5 times that many views in the past 20 days.
Yeah.
I'm no mathematician, but that just means...
It's like an avalanche.
Yeah.
It's like... I don't know. It just needs to be put on the platform where people can see it. And once people can see it, chances are they'll fuck with it. If they don't, fuck you.
Theme that I notice between with rappers who are successful is that a lot of times at a young point in their life, they, for whatever reason, are forced to travel the world and see things from an outside perspective. And it totally helps them to then be able to be more comfortable or relate better to people. Like a very large percentage of the time when I'm doing these interviews, they either moved when they were young or their parents were in the military and they had to like go overseas and like see the world and sort of that opened their mind.
Cause like the more, every time you experience anything, like you take from it, you know, you learn off that. So like,
and if you're always on the same block, it's very hard to see the possibilities that are out there.
The, you know, the different perspectives, that's what matters, like different perspectives. Everyone has a different outlook on life.
Right.
So the more you can understand is the, like, I don't know, it's just, I guess, a faster way to success because you can connect with more people type shit.
Did you have anyone help in to, like, guide you with the music to show you what was possible?
Me?
So you were pretty much a loner, like, making music on your own at first?
Like, I had a couple friends, like, that wanted to make music as well, like, I make music with my friends now and stuff, but like I've always had my vision in my head. Like it's always been the same grind. I dropped my first song last year, but like it's never been like a different, it's always been that mentality, you know? So like, yeah.
Did you realize that it might be a good idea to wait on putting music out because you wanted to wait until you were ready?
Yes. Bro, that's very wise. The biggest mistake people make is having their whole learning process in the public eye, man. Like, no one wants to hear your shitty first tracks, bro. Like, I was recording tracks in grade 7. I thought they were the sickest off a USB mic and shit.
But you somehow like, knew that they didn't belong on the internet?
It's not the... It's, like, sick to me, but it's not the sickest out to the world.
Right.
You know? So, like, I try to wait until I could, like, come for that title. Like, right. Sickest out. Like, you know? So that's what I did with Kilimanjaro. I actually recorded Kilimanjaro this time last year, released in February though, so just so the visuals could match the sound, I guess.
Right.
So that everything about Kilimanjaro was on point type shit.
How controlling of the visuals were you? Do you have like a video guy that you work with consistently or how?
No, every video I have out so far is by a different media production company. But I'm really hands on with whatever I do, so like the video I was like kind of directed, yeah, and distance too. The follow up video, right. I had a lot of input on that as well.
So. There's only 7 songs in your SoundCloud.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. That's a very it shows that you've got a lot of control over that because I'm sure you make music more frequently, right?
But everything I put out so far is still out. So everything Killy that you'll ever see is nothing's been deleted. It's all there. So like, you can watch the progression type shit. All my Instagram pictures from fucking never young, like, I deleted a 1-2, I'm not gonna front. Like,
I retweeted one thing that you said today that was like a prophetic, like you just knew somehow that you were gonna be great one day, huh?
Yeah, so I tweeted, if I die tomorrow, be thankful I never had the chance to stunt on all of you.
just wait. And that was cause like, just about 2 years ago.
Yeah, but like, that's just been the way I don't know, I just have the foresight, I guess.
Do you feel, okay, when you look back to yourself as a kid, like when you were in elementary school, junior high, whatever, did you think that you were talented? Did you always believe that you were gonna be something? Or is this something you kind of developed into?
Like, I just knew I couldn't be nothing. I didn't know what I was gonna be when I was young, but like, I knew I just couldn't be nothing type shit. Like, I hated school. So, I don't know, like, when I started doing music and like, I just kind of knew that was, like, actually, I used to play soccer.
Really?
Oh, I don't even think I've ever said that.
That's cool.
I used to play soccer, so that was, like, my life path, like, trying to get scholarships to, like, go that traditional route and do that shit, but, like, I don't know, I just started doing music, and that's just what I felt, like, was natural, I guess.
Right.
And it's still, I just do me, bro, like, I'm just being me, and I guess people fuck with it.
Were you popular in high school?
Like,
cause it's like very different.
Actually,
types.
Okay. This is what's kind of adds to my first point. So like, I was in BC. I was in middle school, going into high school. Like in my city, everyone just kind of knew me. This is before Killy, but they knew who I was. And I moved back to Toronto for high school, and I moved to Scarborough in the middle of winter. It's cold, it's dark, it's depressing, and I didn't know anyone at my high school. No one knew who I was, you know what I'm saying? So like it was like the complete opposites on both sides. So like I experienced being like alone, like with no friends. Like I've been through that, and I've also lived through being the shit and like people recognizing you on roads, like
right.
So it's just like it's crazy, like the I don't know, just they're like polar opposites, but I've lived them both.
Right.
Yeah.
How does like Toronto view Vancouver and vice versa? Is Toronto considered like the hip cool part of Canada more so than the other ones?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. I think Toronto's like
a cultural hub.
Yeah, like Toronto's definitely the only city like that in Canada.
Mm.
All the other cities are more like all the stereotypical Canadian things that Americans be fucking asking me about.
Trailer Park Boys and shit. Like, is that what they ask you about?
They ask me if we say a boot. if we live 100%. In igloos. Nah.
I don't know if you say a boot, but there's a lot of Canadians saying that shit, right?
But like that's what I'm saying. So Toronto's like the only city that's not really stereotypically like Canada.
Super multicultural, like yeah, super like, deep.
We have
culture.
The greasiest mixed shorties. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Because it's just like a cesspool of different cultures, bro. So now everyone's on their second, third generation. So all these baddies just be foreign as hell.
Everybody's just insanely mixed. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the crazy thing to think about, is that like 100 years from now, you might like very, very rarely see a person that isn't mixed.
Yeah. No, that's going to...
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's nice. I don't know. Wait, but so do you think that like the dark... Is Canada kind of like a dark place to grow up because you have to deal with these insanely brutal winters?
No, I don't think...
I would say that I'm from New Hampshire. I know it's not as bad as like up north.
It's not like
it still fucked me up in
it's
the
not
head,
like
man.
Russia, like it's, you make yes it sound is. Like it's like Russia, bro. Like,
dude. Russia isn't even that bad either. They got summers and shit.
Nah, fam. It's live, like, but like I feel like people live out the winters to like, experience the summers. Mm-hmm. At least in Toronto, that's how it works.
It gives you that downtime, but I hate that downtime. It's so depressing.
It is depressing, but that's when I just come clutch, bro. That's just when shit starts. Like, I realize, like, I need to do shit, you know?
Right. When is the winter's time to record and the summer's time to go out
and
have fun?
Yeah, deadass. Okay. I recorded, like, 3 of the songs I dropped all 2016
uh-huh.
in, like, a session in December. Yeah.
Do you go and do a lot of sessions and that just happened to be the lucky one?
Nah, back in the day, I used to have to fucking struggle
to pay for studio time. Yeah.
So what I would do is I would write out the songs to the beat on my laptop with my Apple headphones and I would just write. Like,
so
even
ready.
The ad-libs, I would write them in, like, so, like, I could just be time-efficient when I'm at the studio, because I was young and
right.
broke.
That 50 bucks an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Add
yeah,
up real
knows,
quick.
Man, 50 bucks an hour back in the day was killing me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Trust.
Where'd the name Killy come from? Was that your first rap name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd it come from?
Like, it's not to be revealed yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Secretive?
Soon, though.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so you moved from Vancouver to Toronto, and then how do you proceed to like get your music out there? And did you have to like totally rebuild friend-wise because you really didn't know people there?
Like I had family there.
Right.
Like my whole family lived there. So I had like cousins and stuff, but I was like out of touch with them. So mm-hmm. like I basically just restarted like, and then a year later, one of my, like my bro god from BC, he moved to Toronto. And then I was like, okay, finally there's someone I can like go downtown with mm-hmm. and like be on the scene with and like meet different people, because like I was living like in Scarborough, which is like it's still in Toronto, but like they're just kind of
like
they're kind of late, like I don't know, it's just like they're just not on like what I was trying to be on at the time. So I had all my friends in Scarborough weren't really about like what I was trying to do, but yeah.
You need that, like, partner in crime. Like, going to rap shows and stuff. That's
yeah, like, you can't
just
go on your
show. It's not nearly as fun if you don't have your little crew, right?
Like, I would never... I'm not showing face anywhere, like, on my ones.
Yeah.
Ever, like... So, like, as soon as, like, I got my bro, Sega, man, we just, like, started grinding, bro. Mm-hmm. And then it's just been a grind ever since.
That's dope. So, people act like Toronto is, like, the big... like one of the hottest new cities in hip-hop that never previously was a big force, but is that the vibe there? Is there like a strong underground hip-hop scene and stuff?
I think there was always a lot of talent in mm-hmm. Toronto. It's just like there was never a platform for the talent to be showcased on
mm-hmm.
and now like especially after people like Drake just going massive, some superstar shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just opened a lot of doors for everyone else to come flooding through,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's just like, people are just starting to notice it more, I guess, now, mm-hmm. more than anything.
It's dope, though, because, I mean, Drake is obviously very deep into his career, and, like, there's a whole new revolution, basically, that's kind of taking place in hip-hop, new sounds, people who want new, exciting voices, and, like, you are so clearly poised to be one of those for yeah. Toronto, I think, that it's just, it's probably exactly what they need.
Yeah. No, like, one of the coolest things about just everything is, like, having the people, like, I respect in Toronto respect me and, mm-hmm. like, fuck with me. Like, so, like, having the love of the city behind me, like that.
Because I've seen, I saw some videos on your Instagram and shit of the crowd going insane for your yeah. live performance. So that, they definitely have your back. It's not just, like, an internet-only sensation, right?
Yeah, no. To, like, Toronto, Vancouver especially, like, those two cities, like, I fuck with, because every time I show out there, they just show me love, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else do you fuck with, like, on an underground level in Toronto? Damn, loaded questions. If you miss somebody, you might be in trouble.
Bro, like, fuck, bro. Like, I just fuck with my peoples, bro. Like, I have, like, a good, I have some good people around me,
mm-hmm.
and on top of that, they're talented. So it's just like, once they get the platform to showcase their shit,
mm-hmm.
They'll just catch.
When you put the Kilimanjaro video online, though, how did you get it out there? Did it just start to catch on its own, or what did you have to do?
Like, well, like, when it first dropped, like, I kind of had clout just in the city, like the scene, like, just the kids and shit, like, and I just put it out there, and it just started, like, word of mouth, I guess, it started gaining traction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an avalanche. Like, it started out slow. I thought it was fast at first, like 10K in a day. I was like, oh shit. Like,
in a day?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
like,
pretty
when I first dropped it. Like, I had, like, you know, like, people were sharing it on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. So, like, I thought 10K in a day, like, I was like, okay, this is sick. But, like, it just progressively just got way faster.
Yeah. It's crazy. Is, like, the media, like, the local media interviewed you and, like, hopped on what you're doing?
Yeah, the first media outlet to cover it was, like, this blog called The Sixth Track.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's, like, a local blog. Now, so, like, I guess it was recognized first in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it was Pigeons and Planes.
Right.
And then just everyone else kind of came through.
Do you feel like... Oh, yeah, what I wanted to ask is, like, what your influences were coming into the music stuff, like, early on and then maybe more recently, too.
My earliest influence probably was Kanye.
Okay.
He's
when you were super young,
like college dropout shit.
Like, right, like he sort of wanted to show you what being a rapper was, or you were able to see the career unfolding.
I don't know about that, but like, I just heard Kanye, and I was just noticed music.
Mm.
I didn't really pay attention to music, like it was just shit that would be around me.
Right.
Type shit.
It's around you, but and then you reach a different point once you have a rapper where you actually care about what
like,
they
yo,
specifically are
sick,
doing. Yeah.
Like, taking what he actually said and shit and like listening to the production behind it, mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this is sick. Like,
especially the Kanye, because every album and especially all the
yeah.
albums in order, he's really
and
telling
then
you the
story.
And when
he started speaking out like on radio, mm-hmm. like I forget what year that was, like 2011 type shit.
Yeah, he had a couple of years.
Yeah, he had like
of
a
the
good,
craziest interviews ever.
Yeah, but that year, like that was lit, bro. I fuck with that shit.
It was like every week
was
there was a new Kanye headline.
Saying
yeah.
what he wanted to say and no one could stop him, and he was getting attention for that.
Yeah,
he was just being himself in the public eye, and people, it was negative and positive, but
everybody wanted to say at that time that he had gone crazy, but if you really were listening to what he was saying, it's like, no, this is like a insanely filthy rich famous millionaire telling you what his life actually is like and how he actually feels.
People could say like he went crazy like to them, but like that inspired me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was crazy. That inspired me.
What, just the fact that he was so willing to be himself
just
publicly,
like, yo, his radio like presence, that shit was like that year, that all those interviews, that shit was crazy. I remember watching them and just like, what the fuck, this is like eye opening type shit.
What about moving on past that, was there anything else that made big impacts on you?
Like there's a lot, like I don't even want to miss anything, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember early on, like Travis Scott, like not specifically like him, but the way he could like balance the artistic aspect of rap,
mm-hmm.
and he was like working with the fucking Atlanta producers and shit,
mm-hmm.
mixing the trap and the art of hip hop. Like that's what I
That's what I fuck with. That's what I try to do.
But also, like, undeniably, he just has the craziest live show and the craziest energy mixed into that, you know? And that's such an underrated thing.
No, he's crazy with it.
That's dope. All right, so you said in one interview that you don't even know what a bar is. Is that true?
Like, I know what bars are, but, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's like every line.
Yeah, it's just like a line, but like to like if I were to like count how many bars that were or like just try to read music, like
right.
I can't, I'm not into that. Yeah. Even like when it comes to like engineering for myself, I can't do that shit. I need it. That's my engineer right there. Me and him built
my stuff. He does it? Okay. So, like, I thought he was just a blunt roller. He's rolled like 18 blunts since he got here.
He's so strong. I'm wavy as fuck. Yeah.
What's a Toronto blunt? I heard you say that before.
Okay, because, bro, I went to New York, and I was with Atlanta, I was in Atlanta with Nestle and shit, and I was smoking these, like, big, like, famous Dex blunts, like, you know?
Right, he rolls huge ones, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's, like, a Toronto blunt's a nice cone, it smokes well.
Okay.
See,
this is an example here?
Yeah, right here, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I don't have, like, the strongest throat in the world, so I don't really feel the need to roll, like, the 4 gram blunt, you know?
Yeah, that shit is...
Pause, by the way, yeah, good point, pause, yeah. redo that.
Cut.
Nah, you can let that rock. We with that gay shit. 100 in the background, like, my ad-libs. Okay, where were we? What the fuck were we talking about? Oh, blunts. The Toronto blunt. It's more reasonable.
Yeah, it's just, you know, just humble yourself.
Humble yourself. You don't need to go crazy.
Like, yeah, we smoking. There's no smoking.
There's something about the way Famous Dex and Lil Pump smoke where they're never not smoking. They always have a blunt hanging out of their mouth, or at the very least, they're in the process of rolling one.
No, I like those too, but it's like, when you put 4 grams in a backwoods, it just like defeats the purpose of the backwoods. Like, it's like a joint.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you don't taste the backwoods. Yeah, yeah. Like, when you put less, like, you can taste the back of the tongue to you, you know?
When I see somebody rolling, like, a 4 gram blunt, I'm like, I don't even know if I really smoke weed anymore compared to you, because this is so much.
Yeah.
You know? Are you on the blunts all the time, or is this a once in a while activity?
Bro, I had a show in Montreal, Lil Pump.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was, that shit was crazy. But my layover to come here was in Philly, and we were stuck there for the whole day, bro. I got there at 10 a.m., and, like, I was missing all types of flights. And that was probably the longest time I've gone without smoking in so long.
How was it?
Like, honestly, it wasn't that bad. But,
yeah,
like,
was it clear?
I, yeah, you know, but it was just, like, I thought about it. I'm like, damn, that's probably the longest time in, like, a year. Like, it's been a minute, you know, since I haven't smoked.
You do other drugs? I know you got that Henny bottle with you.
Recreationally.
Nothing too crazy?
Nothing, like, I don't... Yeah, it's not like crazy shit, but like,
you mentioned like Zans and shit in your lyrics, though. Is that like you've had some crazy Zan nights, but you're not like, you want a prescription?
I don't care for Zans, like, it's not something like I really care for.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Zans, I've done like Molly in like situations to like inspire me,
really.
Yeah,
like, did it work?
Like for music, like when I'm recording music, like I think recreational drugs is not. Not nothing crazy.
They're about to start using Molly to do therapy for people who are depressed. So I don't see why you couldn't start doing some Molly fucking in the studio too, right?
That sounds like it would work. I mean, I think they should...
Small amounts of it? I think the same thing about like acid or something. If somebody's depressed...
I've never done that. I haven't done too many drugs, to be honest, but...
If you ever end up in a bad mental state... Well, actually, I wouldn't say take acid when you're in a bad mental state, but I feel like it can kind of help a lot of people get out of, like, their box that they put themselves
in
sometimes.
That sounds like a gamble.
It's a gamble. That's a fact right there.
Because, like, that shit could turn left real quick.
And it does sometimes, yeah. So, kids, don't do acid. Don't do acid in the woods. That's cool, though. What about, you never tried coke? We'll just get it all off the table right here.
Damn, my dude's going to see this and be like, what the fuck?
That's what we do. We call everybody on all their shit.
No, I'm not into that.
You're not into that?
No.
Is that a big thing in Toronto?
In Vancouver, that's a crazy thing.
Coke's really popular?
Yeah.
I remember I was going down this one street in Vancouver, and somebody just told me that it was like the most infamous heroin block in the world.
Like it's like a Canadian version of Skid Row, I think.
Right, yeah.
It's called Hastings.
Yeah.
Yeah, East Hastings.
And they just told me, like, this is it. Like, this is where you see the craziest shit.
Bro, like, they have, like, a whole community of, like, beans there, bro. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
There's like a crazy heroin problem over there.
It's like Skid Row. It's dead ass like Skid Row here.
You go check out Skid Row since you've been here?
No, I'm not. I'm like, come on.
You don't need to see it. You can drive through it.
Like, I'm good.
It's depressing.
Yeah, I'm
just. You don't want to open the window either.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
It's like 30,000 homeless people in this little fucking area.
Yeah, that sounds like. I've seen the Vancouver version, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna pass on that one.
Do you see anything really impressive in LA throughout the course of the time you've been here?
Baddies.
Like,
there's a lot of shorties here.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is wild. Nothing too crazy, though.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Fuck. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Do you think Drake's watching this right now?
Hopefully. Drake's watching this.
Or at least hearing about it.
Boy.
Have you ever spoken to anybody from OVO or anything? I feel like they're at some point probably going to be looking at you like, damn.
I know Oliver played me on OVO Sound.
Oh, okay.
So. Some of their campus reached out to me.
Really? That's dope.
I'm pretty sure I heard Drake acknowledge Killy Kilimanjaro, mm-hmm. So.
How'd you hear him? What, on a Snapchat or something like that?
A screenshot.
Really?
A fucking screenshot, so.
Interesting.
That's why. <violent.
laughs> Why, is that supposed to be secret?
Is it? I don't know, but it's exposed now.
That's happened to a lot of rappers, like fucking tons of dudes who, there was like a 5-second clip of Drake diddy bop into a song in the club, yeah. Boom, everybody knows about that song. It's wild.
Yeah, so, nah, shout out Jake, though. He's cool.
Mm. So, what are your thoughts about signing? Do you feel like there's a lot for you to gain from being in the major label system, or have you thought about that really?
I think so. I think, like, at first when I started learning about the music industry, it was like my whole life watching interviews, like, rappers, like, instill, yo, don't sign, stay independent, da-da-da-da. So I learned, so that was my mindset coming in to meeting with all these labels. I met with probably almost every major label now in New York and here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my mindset at first when I was like tackling these labels. But then I realized like, if I want my stuff to be on like, on some next level shit, like I need that platform. I need that machine that a label could bring. Or I don't need it, but that option is there, you know?
Well,
I'm
kinda,
still unsigned and I'm still self-managed.
That's like the question is like, do you want to be an underground sensation and stay being like a really popping rapper in your local area? Because you see a lot of rappers where they don't sign and then they sort of get into that thing where they're putting out mixtapes and people fuck with their shit, they keep putting out more and more stuff, but they never go past that certain level.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the choice you make with the label thing.
It's for me, it's not like it's. I'm gonna always be that thing,
uh-huh.
Label without the label.
Right.
It's about time. How much time do I want to spend, mm-hmm. getting to that point? Do I want it to be like this, or do I want to go through the lows to get through the highs?
Right.
So it's not about like what position I'll end up in. So I'm gonna always end up in that same position. It's just about how I'm gonna get there.
Right. And with the label thing too, it's like you have to be able to work with people, and a lot of artists are such artists that they just can't handle being in a situation where they don't, yeah. get to put an album out when they want to or whatever.
Yeah, no, if I go the label route, it's definitely like my conditions. Mm-hmm. Like I need my what I want before anything else, or I can't do anything.
Yeah. Do you, I saw a picture of you with the Squirtle backpack. Are you a strong Pokemon background?
Like, I just played Pokemon as a kid. Okay. I think that's sick. I just thought it was a sick backpack. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't play Pokemon Go?
Like, I did the first day it came out. You know, I feel like everyone did the first 2-3 days. First
did.
Week it came out, dude, everyone was on that shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not.
It's tough still being a guy who still opens it up every once in a while, you know?
Damn.
I'm still concerned with it. It's because I have a friend who's, like, a Pokemon Go vlogger on YouTube.
Okay.
And so I have to watch his videos at this point,
yeah.
because I just feel like I know him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm stuck just knowing about what's going on in this game.
That's kind of live.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. You know, just,
I'll take you out for a hunt sometime.
Damn.
It just doesn't sound like it used to. Huh?
That's what they call it, though?
A Pokemon hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go catch some.
Damn.
No, actually, the other day I walked out of my apartment and
Do you meet up with, like, people, like, to specifically go catch Pokemon?
I have a few times, but it's these guys who make YouTube videos, and
okay.
I'll just go, like, link up with them or whatever. But the other day I was walking out of my apartment, and I just saw a huge crew of people just straight banging Pokemon outside my apartment. And they were just going crazy, battling this gym. And I was like, I'm so happy that this still happens.
Did you join them? Or
I just talked to them for a little bit. A couple of them recognized me. And the ones who recognized me were wearing Gucci shoes. So that made me actually feel really good about
yeah.
I'm like, this is a crazy community. Yeah. I wouldn't think that
Pokemon
there would be a big
that's
Pokemon.
Like me. I play Pokemon, I wear Gucci.
You do?
Same shit.
Have you always been interested in fashion? That was a good question.
Yeah. like since I was young. I've always been dressing like, when I was a kid, I didn't have money. So I was just like thrifting clothes and like, just like finessing clothes and shit. But I always had that interest for, just for style, just for like to be unique, I guess. Cause like, if you're not if you're not the same up here, then why would you present yourself the same as everyone else?
Yeah,
because that was like my philosophy. Like,
if you really think about the way you dress, it's like people don't have anything to judge you based on when they first meet you besides that image, or if you're like fat.
Nah.
If someone's fat, you could be like, damn, well, you're gonna die soon.
That is cool, bro. This guy went OD with it, bro. Nah, fam. Nah, but it's just like the first like sense that is stimulated when you meet someone is sight, generally speaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see them before you taste, touch, hear, any, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's just gotta be on point.
You would have to present so much information to make somebody change what they originally thought of you. Like, if you meet a guy and he's wearing Yeezys, and then he tells you that you only listen to country, or like punk, you'd have such a hard time processing that, because what you wear is really like you telling the world what you are.
It reflects like your character, I guess. But sometimes it's just not even that deep.
Right.
Like, sometimes I just wear anything.
Kevin. I just heard a weird noise, but I think it's still going.
We good?
Is that that's still recording? I just heard a weird noise from it. Oh, that was a cat? Oh, my bad. Sorry, we're gonna
have to. What's the cat's name?
Tony.
Damn. Tony.
37,000 Instagram followers. For the next next couple of days, he's got more Instagram followers than him. It's gonna change very soon, but
soon.
His is pretty static. He doesn't make any big waves.
Actually,
maybe I'll
take a picture and see his clip.
Well, that might reverse that trend I was just describing. But yeah, you know, he doesn't really leave the store, to be honest, unless once in a while he goes out for a walk around the town. I don't know what he's doing when he's out there. I always feel like if I had beef with somebody, they might like come for the cat instead of me.
That's just inhumane, bro. No one's doing that.
Yeah, if they want, you know what kind of savages they are.
They say fuck no jumper, they're coming for your head, you know?
They better, man. That'd be fucked up. That's like killing somebody's kid.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Or like spray paint their cat, like write your name on their cat.
Nah, come on, man.
All right, you got any pets?
Do I have any cats?
Pets.
Oh.
You got a cat or anything?
No.
No cats, no dogs?
No.
Okay. That kind of freaks me out. That scares me.
I'm just focused on me, bro.
You have a girlfriend?
No.
No?
Not really, no.
Play in the field?
Playing the field.
Are you getting a lot of attention from girls all of a sudden since you've
Yeah, fuck all those old hoes that used to curve me hit me up now.
Right, you still getting like the old like high school girls coming back to you now?
Yeah, there's a couple.
They're starting to see things different, they're starting to believe it's in the vision.
Like, at the end of the day though, it's just like I focus on me.
Yeah.
So
at the end of the day, that's what's important. So
that's
what about Nestle though? You don't have a girlfriend, but how'd you meet Nestle?
I used to fuck with Nestle music like hard, bro, like from time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he just heard my music and he reached out to me. Like, I reached out to him when I was like young, and he was just like just coming up because I seen him on SoundCloud. So I reached out to him and then like he reached out to me and he sent me a song to get on. And I sent it back like 2 days later and his reaction was like, yo, what the fuck, you killed this shit. Like. Mm-hmm. So, and then the next day we spoke on FaceTime and I just flew out to Atlanta the day after.
Right.
And it was just all, it was vibes. That's my girl. That's my twin.
He's your twin? You feel that strongly about it?
That Nessie's sick. Man. I fuck with Nessie.
That's dope though. You feel like, have you guys done music together? No, right?
Yeah, we have a video coming out.
Oh, really?
August 11th.
That's dope. He could be like your hook guy or your like singer guy.
He's good in his own, good in his own way. I think I'm good in my own way.
He just needs like opportunity. Like, I feel like his stuff is super good, but it's just people haven't fully like caught on yet. But if he's doing videos with you and stuff, that's definitely a good look.
I see it coming.
Definitely. So from your perspective, like, what are the moves that you want to make from here? Do you want to just keep dropping videos for a while, or are you already thinking about the mixtape?
Like, I dropped 2 videos
that
have gained this much traction, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna keep dropping these like pivotal videos, and then wintertime is when I'll lock down.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're gonna really try to figure it out?
Yeah. And then by that time I'll have opportunity to work with people I wanna work with and really lock in for like a body of work and shit, so.
Right. Damn, that's dope.
Yeah, bro.
Could you see yourself moving?
Yeah, what the fuck? I want to move here.
Really?
Like pronto, like now. I'm going to just stay here.
How old are you again?
19.
Yeah. So you got a couple of years before you're even allowed in the club, but I guess you could probably get a fake out here.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that sucks. That's different than Canada. Shit, it's not this over.
I was in Montreal in the clubs. Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
after the Lil Pump show, we went to the club each. It was like three shows back to back. Shit was crazy.
You went to the club with Lil Pump?
Nah, I don't know where. He was six. I swear he's mad young.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, so I don't think he was there.
From what I've seen, Lil Pump, yeah, he doesn't go to the club. He disappears to his room, and then he will, like, order groupies to his room, and then, like, you know, somehow he'll, like, smoke, like, 800 blunts in the course of a night.
That's true.
No alcohol, just lean. This is what I've seen of a Lil Pump show. How was that show that you played with him, though? Was that crazy?
Yeah. I don't feel like mine and his music are similar, mm-hmm. but, like, the energy of the crowd to the tracks we have is similar. So, like,
that's true.
And, like, there's a lot of people that, like, knew the words to my unreleased shit.
Really?
Which is crazy, because, like...
How did they get that? Oh, Snapchat or something?
No, like, Instagram videos. Right. I have an Instagram video where I have, like, low-key almost a full song.
Uh-huh.
YouTube snippets. They're exposing me, man.
Do they do that? They take all the different snippets and patch it together?
Yeah, they're doing that. Man,
if I wasn't doing this podcast, I'd be doing that. Fuck, we got water bottles in there.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I knew
that's
it.
Jokes.
Yeah, because in that one interview, you kept describing your music as like energy music. Like, I know you didn't like that interview, but is that like that's how you view it? Is like you want to make stuff that gives people motivation or what?
Nah, I mean like my music is based off energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm not trying to give people energy.
Energize them.
Like, yeah, that like
present my energy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's based off mood, emotion,
right.
feeling, you know? Like, I say that because a lot of people say they don't understand what the words Kilimanjaro are.
Right. It's like, but it doesn't matter at all.
Fuck that. How does it make you feel?
Right.
Like, just take it in as just sound. How does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's totally true because I feel like I've looked up and read the words a couple times, but I'm still not thinking about the words when I listen mm-hmm. to it. I'm just thinking about the vibe.
You think about the cadence and, like, how the bass is hitting and, like, how that your reaction to that. So, like. That's what I was trying to stress when I say energy music.
Mm.
I wasn't, yeah.
You didn't like that interview though?
I don't like any interview when it first drops and then like it drops and I'm like, okay, it's not that bad.
I feel like this is a pretty laid back one.
Yeah, it's kick up.
Yeah, this
is... I'm not too wild.
No, it's cool. Well, you at first when you came in with that big bottle of Henny and you're like waving that in my face, I was like, oh shit, it's going to be that kind of interview. All right.
I'm a pretty laid back person. You know, I'm chilling. If we're like gang deep right now, oh my God. No.
I'd like to see you in that environment.
Yeah. Come to Toronto, man.
I'm ready. I need to. I lived in Brooklyn for so long, and then like I went to Toronto, and like I was eating the Caribbean food, and I was like, this shit's way better than Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It really took me by surprise.
It's authentic. It's definitely more authentic.
Definitely. You want to go on tour together in Canada? No Jumper Tour?
I got an email.
Because there's a promoter guy who was trying to put it together, and he was like, what artists from Canada would you be down with? And you were one of the only ones that I mentioned.
Yeah, I got that email, so I replied to it. I'm interested.
That's dope. Yeah.
That shit would be crazy.
It's not even like me booking out. We would just be going on tour together. That'd be cool, though.
That'd be live.
I'd see the real killer.
Yeah, you could see the teed up
I want to
baby
see
Killjoy
up.
Demon.
Oh, you see teed up. Adam 22 in Toronto, man. You're going to see a whole different thing out there.
You're in the next country, you have to go extra hard.
Man, I did go hard last time I was in Toronto, man. I remember that fucking... Oh, man,
bro, I'm debating if I should stay here or if I should go back for OVO Fest and Caravana this weekend, man. I'm like, fuck, LA is so nice, but like, it's a one time in Toronto, like, the city's popping, everyone from the States comes up and shit, like...
You gotta go back and soak up the clout, because everywhere you go, people are gonna know you are there. And then you're taking photos.
Like, I don't know. I'm debating like if I should change my flight later to keep it for tomorrow. Well, I don't know.
Man, that's a tough decision.
I love LA. Like it's my first time here since I was like young, like too young to remember.
Right.
So like, I'm trying to like, I've just been in meetings too, so I'm trying to see it.
The question is like, what would Drake want? Like, would Drake want you to stay in LA? Or like that's like how you feel when someone dies. It's like, well, what would they want me to do? Would they want me to fly across the country for the funeral? Would they want me to keep grinding?
I don't know. I'm not basing my decisions off what Drake wants, bro. Right. Nah, I feel like America's perception of Canada is Drake.
Yeah.
Like,
Because he's what made us figure out that Toronto had rap music there.
Yeah, when I was in New York, bro, like, that's the only person they were really fucking with. I was like, damn. Like, the people I thought had clout didn't have clout.
Well, you know, like, if you go to France right now, they're going to want to talk to you about Donald Trump. And he's not even your president.
Yeah.
So, like, when you go far away from the scene of the crime, it's like people tend to boil it down to, like, its most basic elements.
Facts.
You know?
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so how long we got to wait for the next video? Is it collab? Is it the Nestle one? Or what do you think?
Yeah, that one's dropping August 11th. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to have a video out before the end of summer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just going to go hard.
Yeah, you got to... Yeah, I think the wave you have going right now where every video is just, like, epic as fuck and, like, very visually pleasing. It's, like, that's the wave right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, I need... The thing is, I try to match every visual with how it sounds. Mm-hmm. Type thing. So, like, I feel like the best artists can translate what's in their head and what they feel into sound. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them good, you know? So, that's why I try to balance with all my shit. So,
totally.
Next video is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing, too, because... Have you ever seen, like, a video where you love the song so much and then you see it with the video, and the video, to me, it's always that the video is not cut to the music right, and then
sometimes the energy doesn't match the sound, the track.
Chief Keef Finito video. I'm going to risk ruining my Glow Gang connects and just say that video did not pull off that song. Like, it just didn't
work. It could have been harder, but that song is crazy, regardless.
Yeah, oh yeah, the song is crazy. The video took forever to come out, and then I don't know how many views it did technically, but it just didn't really capture what that energy was there for me, personally. Although, I think, didn't they, like, put, like, a gorilla face on Chief Keef at one point? Like,
maybe if it was in the heat of the moment, it could have gone hard, but, like,
exactly,
I feel like it just got lost later on. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
For sure. So, who do you want to shout out and everything before we end this? I know you don't have any pets, so it's not gonna be any cats or dogs, but anybody else?
Shout out my family, man. My sound engineer, LG, the whole gang in Toronto. Just everyone that supports me, bro.
Beautiful.
Killy season, cattle shit, bitch.
It is Killy season, and all y'all.
Shout out Lil Jumper,
hey.
Yo, Adam.
Hey, he said he was bummed out that he wasn't able to do this interview
on
the old
setup
because
I came up on them old interviews, bro. I used to be a kid watching those. So, like,
that's so cool to hear.
Yeah, dead
ass. Any stand out for you, like, as your favorite ones?
Fuck, I didn't even prepare for that. I watched a lot of them though.
Hell yeah.
I never watch the vlogs though. Just
no, that's good. Yeah, they don't want to see them. Watch, like, I don't watch them.
No, but people were tagging me in your live stream the other day.
Oh yeah. That's why I love watching people's stuff on the live stream, because then I know they're gonna find out. They're gonna get at least a few comments on Instagram or whatever.
So I found out about that.
It's a cool way of, like, passively showing somebody that you fuck with them. Watching
I met you at the Trippie Red Show.
I know, but when you introduced yourself, I didn't, like, immediately register it because I had met so many fans. And then, like, it like, occurred to me, like, a couple minutes later, like, fuck, that's that fucking Killy Kid. And then I felt kind of bummed. I was like, I should have shown love there.
It is what it is, man. I'm
What were you in New York for?
I was opening up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Fuck, I got there late.
I just dropped, like... They dropped my name for that show 2 days before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And that was early Kilimanjaro, so.
Oh, amazing. Man, time flies.
Yeah.
That was, like, the other day, and it feels like that was, like, the
same like,
early
was,
days.
My life has changed in that moment, for sure, so.
Yeah, it's never going to be the same, either, and it's going to keep getting worse. Not worse, but
worse.
Better.
Yeah, worse and better.
Yeah.
For the both.
Just hope you don't reach, well, nah. Like, that's the fucked up thing, is that the best possible thing for your career is, like, you can't even walk down the street outside.
Yeah,
so
that shit is, bro. In Toronto, I don't even be showing face, fam. Like,
you're already starting to feel that.
Yeah, it's just like I fuck with it. There's a lot of positive attention, but with the attention comes negative too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like it's not what I'm about.
You feel like you're starting to see that in the hometown already, like people kind of hating on you, feeling like you're
it's just,
not worthy
it's
of what
not
you got.
Just in the, it's not in the hometown. It's just there's hate everywhere, bro. Mm-hmm. Just like there's love everywhere, there's gonna be hate everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Make that effect. Yeah, and it's like the hate will always grow as the love grows, so it's like you might have 500,000 fans this time next year and then have a good solid 20,000 that are at your neck that hate you. But that's a product of the popularity of the other column, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's facts though.
I don't know. All right, well, bro, thank you so much for coming in and doing this interview. I'm very excited to see where your career goes from here. I'm very excited about the music that you have out already. And I suggest everybody out there at home go and overdose on your videos.
Kettle LY shit, bitch.
Facts.
Cut.
This has been No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Thanks.
Appreciate you, man.